Welcome everyone to VANetworking.com's free webinars to help educate and entertain virtual assistants and online virtual achievers worldwide. We hold these educational business webinars on a regular basis, usually every other Thursday. If you've signed up once for this webinar, you should get the repeat logins for all the rest of them. So you only have to sign up once. And for those who want the recordings, check out VANetworking.com and go to the forum and join our forum. And I send out the recordings to all our forum members on a regular basis. Now, tonight, we're going to talk about Pinterest. And we're going to be Dan Morris, who I got the pleasure of meeting many times. I met you many times, Dan, but I just met you about a month ago in Tennessee, which was really cool. And Dan's going to talk about image marketing more than just Pinterest tonight. A little bit about Dan. He's the founder of lettersfromdan.com, and I really hope you go there and click on his chips and sign up to his newsletter, because you're going to get a lot of valuable information from Dan, as you will see tonight or this morning, whatever time zone you're in. Anyways.
Oh, someone this morning?
Yeah, we get a lot of people from the UK and Australia and things that attend the webinars, so it's kind of cool.
Fancy.
Anyways, Dan's website, lettersfromdan.com, it's a website dedicated to improving your revenue stream from online efforts. Dan is an infomercial producer, niche website owner, product developer, author, and mastermind leader, and I've learned tons from Dan. So he actively encourages marketers to take that extra step so that hope doesn't become the marketing plan. So hopefully you are all going to enjoy the webinar today on Pinterest and image marketing. And Dan, thanks so much for sharing this with us, because you're such a wonderful speaker. I love listening to your words.
Well, I'm glad that you had me. You had virtual assistant and virtual achiever?
Yeah. There's a lot of people out there trying to achieve virtual success. And
I see.
Yeah.
That's a cool term. Virtual achiever.
I already own the domain name, Dan.
Don't worry, I got my phone out right now. Got the GoDaddy app going. Do I own virtualachiever.com yet? You know, I actually stopped buying domain names because it really just ended up being expensive. Anyway, my name is Dan Morris. I go by Dan R. Morris online because apparently there are other people with my name, and I don't exactly know how they got it, but somehow they got it, and they got it before me. So Dan R. Morris it is. You can search for my name, and you'll find me and other random people. Today we're going to talk about Pinterest and image marketing, and I changed it from Pinterest marketing about 2 months ago when I realized that if all we do is talk about Pinterest marketing, we kind of limit ourselves, because it doesn't take that much extra work to do a couple more things. And then you get tons more exposure than if you had just stuck to Pinterest. So we're going to talk a little bit about all that stuff. And if I, look at that, there we go. Slide number one, look at that. So our goal today is to figure out, there are a couple sides to Pinterest. There's the side where you go to Pinterest.com or you go to the Pinterest app. That's one side. The other side is you're building websites for your clients and for yourselves, and you want those websites and those pages to actually show up on Pinterest.com. So the two sides are, one is there's the site, and the other is, how do I make sure that this blog post gets pinned? So the first point is we're going to figure out why should we spend a little bit more time to actually make the images so that they're pinnable. And then we're going to talk about how we can get more than just one image pointing to a page. Because right now you pin an image and you do a blog post and you put an image in it and then you go pin it. What if we could pin 100 different images all going back to that one page and see which one actually excites people to come back to that page? So we'll talk about that. We're going to talk about a little bit about not only are we going to get the image pinned, but there's a couple extra things that we can do to even, you know, get more traffic from that particular activity that take 2 more seconds. And then we're going to talk a little bit about where and when, because the world is not linear. People are not searching for Christmas right now, and they are not searching for strawberries in South America. So we're going to talk about a little bit about melding your online efforts to actually what's going on the planet, so you don't really waste your time. So about me, the most important part right here is that I run lettersfromdan.com, and I run freeweeklymastermind.com. Free Weekly Mastermind is on Facebook exclusively, and it is a place where you can just ask internet marketing questions, and the community comes out in droves to help answer them. And then on Wednesday nights, we do calls to answer your questions, help you overcome problems. It's all free. My goal there is to get you to come to the calls and then like them as much, just like this one, so that you would go to our members area and then you would become a premium member. But I cannot get you to become a premium member until I provide enough good quality content that you actually want to. So it's free until you feel like there's enough value there that you're willing to trade your money for our information. All right, so here's kind of the why. Why do we care about the images? And this particular graphic kind of says pretty much everything you need to know. Our goal as internet marketers, as business owners, is to create a sense of community, people who are actually loyal to our business, people who will engage and get to know us. So, and as you can see here from Track Social, the photos are the ones that are getting the most engagement. They're the ones that are spawning people to, you know, to laugh, to do the LOLs, to the, you know, I love that. They're the ones that you can tag, you know, and other people don't mind you tagging them because it's something interesting to put on their wall. Photos are really moving the needle. And Pinterest showed that. Tumblr was a little bit of a precursor to that. And even if you look at StumbleUpon, if some of you have been on StumbleUpon, you can stumble all over the place. But the pages that you press stumble on immediately are the pages that they come up and it's just text. That's all it is. It's black and white text. It doesn't have any flavor, color, or images. So what we want to do is figure out how do we turn images into gold. All right, so we're going to talk about 3 steps. These are all the boring slides, by the way. The rest of them are going to be super exciting. I'm telling you that right now so that you don't go away. Super exciting. All right, so we're going to figure out how to make pinnable images, something that actually somebody wants to pin, and we're going to talk about how do we actually get them to pin it. Because if you're working for a client, helping them with blog posts or doing your own, if, in fact, the work that you do creates more revenue for them, I mean, your whole world is that much better. We're going to talk about Pinterest isn't the only place we want the images, as I said, and a couple of little things to do so that more than just the people on Pinterest will see the picture. So let's start with what is a pinnable image. And I have an example, but I'll tell you, I'll go through these quickly before we go to the example so you kind of have an idea of what we're about to look at. A pinnable image is a clear, single-focus image. That means if you take a picture of a resort and your goal, because you're a swimming pool person, your goal is that they see the swimming pool and you attract people who are interested in swimming pools, then you are not going to attract the people that you want. You are going to attract people who love resort scenery, mountains in the background. The pool is not the single focus. So we want to make sure that the focus of the picture is what our goal is, what we're trying to move the needle. Then we're going to add some words to the photo using something like GIMP, which I know in VANetworking.com there is a tutorial on how to use GIMP.org. Please use that if you don't have another photo program. It's free and it's hard, but that's fine. Use the tutorial and go to YouTube because YouTube is your friend and look up whatever you need to do. Just YouTube GIMP, add words, and it'll show you exactly how to do it. So we're going to add words that make the photo better. So, and I'm going to show you an example of this salad that has strawberries in it. Now, you could put the words salad with strawberries on the picture, or you could put words that actually enhance the photo, like strawberry spinach salad, or low-carb salad, you know, something that makes it even a better picture. And then below that, we're going to include a description that adds even more value to the photo, a caption that tells a little bit something even better. So in this instance of the salad, and I'm going to actually show you this picture, instead of repeating that it's a strawberry spinach salad, we're going to say it's a only 10 minutes to make three-ingredient salad, you know, something that makes you go, oh, wow, that's even better. And we're going to look a little bit more about the timing. We don't want to be posting 12 ways to decorate Easter eggs right now. It doesn't make a lot of sense, but it does make a ton of sense in March. So a pinnable image is those, and I'm going to show you what a pinnable image looks like. All right, now these are pinnable images. This is from the Yummy Life, and I'm going to show you in this little inset picture over here is from Budget Savvy Diva. Now, both of these accounts have 20, 30,000 followers on Pinterest, and every single image that they put out gets repinned 300, 400, 500, 1,200, 2,400, 12,000 times. Now, you can see right here on the screen, if your eyes are good enough to see this tiny little print, that this middle picture with the coffee has 485 repins. But in fact, that has 485 pins of the first person who repinned that. Somebody else might have repinned it somewhere else, and it got repinned 100 other times like a different branch of the tree. So actually, that page might have 12 to 15,000 repins. It's just this particular line of pins right here that gets repinned has only been done 485 times. But you can see in each one of these pictures that there is a clear and concise image. It's exactly what they want you to know, like the toothpick one. And then the words add value to the picture. Like, look at the strawberry salad one, and it's second to the left. You can tell that it's strawberries and something green, but you can't exactly tell whether that's Swiss chard or spinach or greens. So the fact that you put spinach strawberry salad adds value to the picture. And then below that, she has, you know, some of the ingredients in it that makes it even more enticing. Makes you want to click it, to like it, to save it, to make it. So, and this, and you can do these for other things, not just like food. You can do that for pretty much anything. Even look at the six amazing uses for toothpicks. You can do, you know, top 10 plugins. You just have to find a relevant image that goes with that. But the key is follow a design like this because this is what works. Infographics are also highly pinnable, and they're useful on your blog. They're useful to your content. Like the home gardening one, if you have a gardening, I mean, that could be the blog post right there just by itself, or you can add text to it. But that coupled with the pin it button is going to make someone want to pin it. It is useful. It is interesting. It's chock full of information. And because you are proud of your Pinterest boards, this makes you proud to have it on it because it's good. It's not, you know, crappy little image. It's got some value to it. I mean, all three of those have value. So infographics are, they're not like clear single focus, but they are sort of single focus. They, you know, they grab your attention, you know, in an interesting, informative way. And they have words that, you know, help you move along. It's not just a picture of the carrots and summer squash. It's got extra value. So keep infographics and keep the other kinds of, I'm not even sure what you call this kind of a picture, but I call it a pinnable image. Keep those in mind. This is kind of what you want to follow. Now, google.com/trends. This is an extremely useful page at this point when you're trying to figure out not only what you write about and what you do in your business and your plan, but making sure that you aren't accidentally posting Valentine's Day stuff on February 13th when you probably should have been posting it on January 6th, which happens to be the day that Valentine's Day stuff starts to peak. So here, you know, cabbage, pumpkins, wheat, you can see how they all kind of peak at different times of the year. So you want to couple not only your blog posts and making pinnable images, but you want to make sure that you're pinning them at the right time. And google.com/trends is a great way to just hone in on when you should be doing things. One of our products is the Marketing Calendar Blueprint, and it's designed to help people figure out exactly what they're supposed to be doing in their business at what times of the year, and not just from a calendar perspective, but even from if you're you know, if you or your client or your team is releasing a product today, and you know that you're also going to be releasing a product in 2 months from now, what is it you have to do today to help move the needle so that those people are interested in your product 2 months from now? And, you know, putting those kinds of things on paper and then aligning your image marketing plan with that will really help move your business forward, help grow, help increase not only the products that your audience purchases, but the information that your audience envelops. Because the ultimate goal is they get smarter. As long as your audience continually gets smarter, they will continue to follow you. So here's where I say don't stop at Pinterest. There's all these other great places that we want to take and put our pictures. Now, if you came on this call and you're not exactly sure even how to use Pinterest, you don't have an account yet, don't worry about that so much. We're not getting so far ahead of you, even though it may seem like it. So consider Pinterest as like a grilled cheese sandwich. If this entire webinar was about how to cut up a grilled cheese sandwich so it's fun to serve to your kids, it doesn't necessarily matter that you don't know how to make it yet. I mean, we can show you that at the end. But the fact of the matter is we're going to show you all the cool stuff about it. So I could give you a quick tutorial on how to use Pinterest if that's where you're at, but I have a feeling that you probably already know how. So don't feel like we're going over your head. Just pretend like Pinterest is Facebook. All you do is log in and you do some other stuff. It's quite easy once you're there. This is the good stuff to know once you're in. So I'll help you get in if that's an issue. These are some other great sites that are largely based on images. Flickr is the largest photo sharing site on the net. And I am going to go off the grid at the moment. Let's see if we can do this. I hope that you're not on dial-up and it's 500 times slower than me, because I'm going to show you Flickr. Now, here's something cool about Flickr. Flickr is a little bit like LinkedIn, and where you can join groups and, you know, in on Facebook where you have Facebook pages. Flickr has groups as well. In fact, all these here that you see are groups apparently I have joined for different things. But you can, you know, whatever your niche is, make sure that you take your, and it might even be smarter to load your pictures up to Flickr first. Then you can embed your Flickr image into your blog post, which means you're not storing it on your server. And then you can pin either your blog post or your Flickr page. It doesn't matter. Pinterest likes either one of them. But here, if, like, for instance, you're in the frogs, toads, and amphibians niche, which, you know, you may be, you can load your images up with your URLs, you know, in the description of the image, right into a group that is chock full of people who like the same kinds of things that your niche is. So you get to find new people with the same image. And they're all, you know, in the niche that you want them to be in. And all you got to do is groups and find a group right here, like wine. If you're in the wine niche, you can search for wine, and there's tons. Now, of course, my computer is going to take like 10 minutes to actually search for this. Oh, look at that. Wine tasting and all about wine. Wine photo of the day. Wine and dine. Wine-related photos from around the world. See how useful it would be if you were in the wine niche to make sure that your wine, your winery, or your wine-related photos, or your wine information shows up in these groups. Because obviously these are people who are interested in wine. So if you click on one, let's see if anybody's people did it correctly. Right down here in this description area, you could, in fact, put your domain name, you know, link back to the page that you want them to go to. And you can put your hashtags, which we're going to talk about in a minute as well. But this is one more great place to take your images if you're not currently doing it. Now let's see if we can find that again. So Fancy is a site just like StumbleUpon, or just like Pinterest. It's kind of a competitor. It's called Fancy because you make, instead of making boards, you make boards of things that you fancy, things that you like. Another place to put stuff. Tumblr is the original Pinterest. Just like MySpace is kind of like the original Facebook. Facebook changed the user interface and it became more popular. Pinterest changed the user interface and it became more popular than Tumblr. So make sure that we load up our pictures there as well. StumbleUpon, make sure that you stumble your pages with your images, because they'll get viewed when people are on the site. Do not neglect, even though you've already written the blog post and you've already loaded your image up to Pinterest, do not neglect to load it up to your Facebook page as well. I mean, when you load it up directly instead of just putting a link to it, you know, you get the like button and, you know, all the other fancy stuff that goes along with Facebook marketing. So don't neglect it. Now, Instagram is kind of going to be a jumping off point for our next subject here. But Instagram is this great iPhone app, which has now gone on to Android. And it has tons of users, I mean, probably millions at this point. And it's basically just taking pictures of, you know, whatever you're doing. Well, there's a whole lot of food pictures on there and other stuff. And it gives you the fancy filters to make it look, you know, like a vintage Polaroid or something like that. But the key is that those pictures can be liked. You can create a community within Instagram. And you can share those with Twitter and Facebook and some other places. I'm going to show you in case you don't know about Instagram. Here is a picture that Crystal Collins of the thriftymama.com put together. Now, she used on her iPhone, she took four different pictures, and she used one of those little fancy, I think, Camera Plus or one of those other apps that where you can do all kinds of fancy things with it. So she put all these little vegetarian dishes together, and then up here, late night snack vegetarian, this is her description. Now, after following Crystal for a little while, I realized that because she uses this hashtag vegetarian, and sometimes she uses vegan, and sometimes she uses the other hashtags, and then she shares that photo with Twitter and Facebook, people were starting to follow her just because they were clicking the hashtag on some other photo and then finding hers. So she started to grow this great vegetarian vegan following on Instagram, which she has moved to her site just by, you know, commenting. You see how you can comment down here, just like you can on Pinterest and on Facebook. She started moving people to her The Thrifty Mama site because they started following her and seeing that she was vegetarian and vegan on Instagram. Now, since she took these pictures with her phone, she can obviously take those pictures and then, you know, use them in blog posts. She can pin those images. She can load them up to Flickr, whatever. But in this particular instance, you know, in an instant, she takes the picture. She's sitting at dinner. She uses the Camera Plus. She makes a little fancy thing. And then while sitting at dinner, repurposes it on social media. I mean, that's fantastic stuff to keep in mind. So let's go back here. And let me finish up with Animoto. So I showed you just now Instagram, how you use the four pictures to make like one image. Animoto, if you have, let's just say you have five or six photos, every five or six images, every five or six blog posts, if you go to Animoto and load your five or six images up, Animoto will turn those images into a video. And it will automatically send that video to YouTube. So in, you know, anytime that you have a bunch of images, not only can you get them, you can get traffic from Pinterest and Twitter and Facebook and Flickr and Fancy and Tumblr, but you can also turn them into videos. And Animoto will actually add the music. You can just put, you know, eight pictures of vegetarian dishes, and then Animoto will allow you to write a little text in. And it's free for like 30-second videos. But, you know, it's another link back. It's another piece, you know, out in social media. If you have a YouTube account that's linked to your Twitter account and you load up a video, then that video actually gets posted to your Twitter account as well. So there's a whole lot that you can do more than just Pinterest with your images. Now, I'm going to talk – now, I just mentioned the hashtag, so I'm going to come back to that. And I said that Instagram was a little bit of the jumping off point. And the reason that I said that was because of – I wanted to talk to you about how you shared those across from like YouTube to Twitter. But let's start with getting those images seen on Pinterest by itself. And that is, there is some SEO to Pinterest. There is some search engine optimization. Now, when you think search engine optimization, you automatically think that we're talking about how to be found in Google. And that is, I mean, that is something. You can be found in Google on Pinterest. But anytime that you get to a site and the site has a search box, then that site becomes a search engine. So search engine optimization is different for every site. For instance, YouTube is very much interested in you putting your Facebook links, your Twitter links, any of your other social media in the description of the Facebook or of the YouTube video. They're very interested in you putting the annotations in the YouTube video, which point people to other YouTube videos. So part of the SEO for YouTube is social. Not only do you have to do the title right and the keywords in the description, but they also want you to do the social stuff, because they're going to bring those back up to the top, because the whole idea of YouTube is social, and they've built that into their algorithm. So now, Pinterest, which has the worst search engine on the planet, also has its own, you know, way to optimize things. So the image title needs to have your keywords in it. Now, don't just, if your keyword is brown rice, don't just put brown rice. You know, make sure it's human as well. I mean, the tastiest brown rice recipe ever, you know, or something. But make sure that your brown rice keyword is in there. The name of your board, your Pinterest board, that has some value, because it becomes the page title at the very top. So make sure that your board is somewhat relevant to your niche and to your keywords. Your image description, make sure that you're actually, like I said, and when you were adding, we're adding images to the photos, like with the strawberry salad, I mean, make sure that in the image in the image description, that we actually use our keywords along with the words that add value. You also want to make sure that in your profile page, which is either about you or about your company or whatever, or about your client, make sure that your keywords and your value is there, what it is you want people to find. And then you can include incoming links to Pinterest. There hasn't been any conclusive studies yet to tell you whether or not incoming links to Pinterest are affecting their search engine, and that's because their search engine's horrible. But it very well may be that there someday it will count. So if you want to link to your Pinterest board, that would be fantastic. Don't just not do it. If you want to do it once, it's better than, everyone else. So going back to the hashtags, so we just talked about making sure that your keywords were in your description and that your description was adding value. Now this guy here, Yaron 007, he has 35 followers on Twitter and 5,600 followers on, he's an Instagram guy. So 5,600 followers on Instagram. Now this is a snip of a site called Webstagram, which is a way just to look at Instagram pictures. But the way that he has increased his following on Instagram is that in his description, and you can see here, in his description, he puts hashtags, all the big hashtags. His is almost too broad for me, and it doesn't really add any value. But he's got 5,600 followers who see every photo that he puts up there. So when he puts these hashtags in there, and then he shares his Instagram with Twitter, if anyone anywhere on Twitter sees this, best of the day hashtag on any other photo, anywhere else on Twitter, and they click on it, then Twitter is going to take them to every photo that has the hashtag best of the day, which means his account is going to be pretty much everywhere. He wants to be on photo of the day. He wants to be on edit of the day. So anybody who's out there clicking on edit of the day or photo of the day, they're going to likely find his images because he uses that hashtag. So you remember how we went back to Flickr and we were in the groups and we were searching for wine and there were all those different wine groups? Well, there happens to be that kind of a thing for hashtags. You can Google hashtag directory and you can go on Twitter and just type in your niche like wine. And you can find all kinds of relevant hashtags for your niche. So for wine, I found hashtags for wine festivals, for the Ohio Wineries Association, for, what else did I find? I found wine tasters, I found organic wine producers, I found home wine making. I found all of these hashtags that had to do with wine. And I have a wine-related site, so it was of interest to me to now make sure that I go back to Pinterest, and when I do future images on Pinterest and I load, I pin my own blog post or whatever, in the description I'm going to make sure that I start putting the hashtags for those organizations. Because when I share them on Twitter, people searching for that are going to find, my wine-related stuff. So when I talked originally about how we're going to do little things that only take a couple of seconds, then you can really get more people to see your images. I'm talking about just taking a little time to research your niche and see what hashtags are, you know, even related to your niche, and then, you know, using those in your description. Now, if you, this goes for WordPress too. If you have a WordPress blog where as soon as you post, you know, press publish, the blog goes directly to Twitter, make sure that when you press publish the first time, that you actually put the hashtags in the title. Because when WordPress sends a post to Twitter, the title actually becomes the tweet. So, you know, if your post is, you know, 11 ways to use WordPress plugins, make sure you put hashtag WordPress right after that, hashtag plugins, hashtag internet marketing in the title of your blog post, and then it will get sent to Twitter immediately. And then if you want to, you can just delete those and, you know, republish your blog post, because you won't send it to Twitter twice. But at least you'll get those hashtags and you'll be able to be found different ways. So here was an example of sharing it. So here's, you know, I pinned this smoothie board and I made sure that the word smoothie was in there, and then I shared it with Twitter, because now, and I think I might have brought this up. Oh, no, that's not it. That's it. Twitter. So Twitter here is a super voting news, but it actually has the word smoothie in there. So if you click on the word smoothie, it takes you to every other tweet that has the word smoothie in it. So if you share an Instagram picture with about, you know, you go smoothie shopping or whatever, you go to someplace and you take a picture, make sure that you, you know, you put the hashtag in front of the word smoothie so that you can show up, or your client or your site can show up in a search like this. If you don't do that and you just sort of rely on people finding it when they're perusing Pinterest, then you're kind of limiting yourself. It only takes a few more seconds to do it, and you could get a whole bunch more exposure that you're not getting now. So I showed you the one. Look at that, I'm ahead of myself. Here's those wine groups on Flickr. When you load up your, you know, your images, make sure that you join some of these groups, because these are obviously, you know, if you're in the wine niche, why would you not want to be in front of wine people? So here's the part that I wanted to talk about in terms of making sure that you get, if you are doing a campaign, like what would be a great campaign? You have your client has a great traffic building campaign. He's an internet marketer. He's about to market a big traffic building thing. And you're going to do ebooks and e-courses and teleseminars. You're going to do all these things as part of this campaign. It's on your plan. Well, I want you to also include image marketing in your campaign. So what we're going to do is, in Pinterest, when you go into your account and you press this add button, you can actually upload a pin. You can upload it straight from your computer. You can upload it from Flickr. It doesn't matter where you upload it. But after you upload it, it gives you the opportunity to edit it. You can edit the description. You can edit the link. You can edit the board. This link is the part that's important for an image campaign. So you could go in. You could load up 100 pictures. You could make sure that each one of those pictures, you edit the link, and the link goes back to, you know, yourcampaign.com. So that, you know, in the end, if it's a link building, you know, you could have an image of a link. You could have an image of, you know, a group of people standing in line, and a headline that says, you know, how do you capture people? You can really put all kinds of images on Pinterest that lead people back to whatever it is that you want them to go, hoping that at least one of those images attracts the attention and starts to get some pins. Now, when they click on it and they go to your page, you're going to have one or two images on the page, but they're not going to see all 100. The image itself was just the billboard, was just the marketing to get them there. Now, to some degree, that's, you know, it's a little bit spammy. So you have to be, you know, you have to be an ethical marketer. You got to figure out how you're going to do it and provide some value. You could do that over time, so that instead of continually pinning, you know, your page every day the same images, just pin your page, you know, a couple times a week, but load up a new interesting image that directs people back to that page. You don't want to overwhelm your audience or drive anyone crazy. Your goal is just how do I mean, which image is actually going to drive people back to this page? How do I test that? And the ability to edit the link is one of the ways to test that. Because you can have images go anywhere. You can pin some other page because you like the image, and then you can change the link back to your page. Now, that would be ridiculousness. But the link edit is there. So it's there for a reason. It's because they figured you would load images up and then you would want them to go somewhere to see it or somewhere to do something. So don't forget about using the edit link to figure out how you're going to drive people to something. Look at that, the last one, holy mackerel. I thought I had two more. All right, so I'll definitely take questions. But that will probably lead me into a couple other things before we finish. What time is it? I don't even know. All right. Linda, are you there? All right.
I'm here, Dan.
You are here. Do you know if any of these are right, I'm going through them. There's like questions and answers on here.
Yeah, I've been answering a few questions for you along the way that were more nice. Personal. How much they love your presentation and everything else, Dan. We've got a few people here from South Africa and Australia and different places. It's amazing the people that show up. But one of them was first question here we've got, and please type your questions into the Q&A box and we'll get them answered for you. They want to know what hashtag directories you like.
I don't like any hashtag directory, none of them. They're all a little bit out of date. So what I have been doing is I've been slowly going to several of them and looking for relevant hashtags. The very first one that comes up, everything that I found on it was 2009. Like for some reason that site got popular and then it just disappeared, but it still shows up in Google search results. But I still wrote down the hashtags that I found there. And then I went onto Twitter and I just searched for them to see if anyone was using them. And I did find that some of them were used. And I found the ones that were the most important, and for me, ended up being like the wine festivals. So, and they happened to be every year. So I found that those hashtags, even though they hadn't been loaded up to that particular directory since 2009, they were still being used. So when that was useful for me because I then figured out, and I'll go back to directories in a second, but then I took my, and I have this big marketing calendar, and I put on my marketing calendar that this, you know, wine festival in Italy is, you know, August 6th. So on July 6th, I basically wrote, you know, start using this particular hashtag, and I pulled, you know, like Italian wine. So if I did any posts on Italian wines, I would use that hashtag from July 6th to, like, the end of September. Because I know that, you know, hashtags are, if it's an event or a festival, they're pretty much just popular right around that time. So over the course of the year, I can see different things that I should be paying attention to, making sure that I don't miss stuff that I definitely would not have been paying attention to otherwise. So after I looked at a couple of the crappy ones, I went to Twitter and I just searched for wine and I just scrolled down and I just started looking for hashtags and then clicking on them to see if there's any use. And I sort of made like my own little cheat sheet of wine-related hashtags. And I ended up finding them in all the different sites. And some of them, you know, nobody ever used, so I crossed those off. But yeah, there's not a really good one, but nothing is easy. I mean, if it was easy, everyone would do it. So you just have to go out there and do a little research and then be done with it.
Dan's Sylvia asks, if I had an image of a beach and added hash marks in front, like hash mark island, hash mark typing, they can find me that way.
So if you're in the beach niche, I guess, maybe like travel or resort or something, then I would say you not only want to go out and find the hashtags that are currently being used, you don't want to invent any, because our goal isn't to change attitudes. It's to stand in front of people when they're searching for things. So I would just put in hashtag island in Twitter's search box and see if people are actually using that. And if they are, then I would definitely use island. And then I would also look for tropical and Mediterranean, you know, whatever the other things are. But I would take the few extra minutes to just see what is it that people are actually using instead of hoping that they're using that. You definitely don't want to waste your time.
Other questions are starting to come in here now, Dan. Jim, he's on the call here. He said, wonder if that would make a good bribe to build an email list, a current up-to-date hashtag directory for image campaign marketers.
Yes, that would be good. But here is the problem with that, Mountain Jim, and I will send you your $8 back because I see you accidentally bought that twice. The problem with an up-to-date hashtag directory is that you end up getting into a business that means you have to be up-to-date. So definitely a good idea, but also a little prison that you put yourself in. So I say anything with the word up-to-date in, stay out of it. The moment you relax, it's no longer up-to-date. Into a JPEG. So I am unmuted. So can PowerPoint slides be used in Pinterest if the slide is made into a JPEG? I do not know that. I believe if it's a JPEG, it is in fact an image. It doesn't matter that it started out as a PowerPoint slide. So I would say yes, you could load that up. But what's cool about you bringing that up is, remember I said that you could take 5 or 6 images and load them up to Animoto. You can also take 5 or 6 images and create a PowerPoint presentation and then load them up to SlideShare, which also has a huge following of people. So that's another way to repurpose your images. What is the easiest way to create infographics for clients if you are terribly, horribly, no good, or very bad? I would go to Fiverr.com or ask one of your fellow VAs who is good at that. And I would take a pen and paper, and I would draw the Pinterest, the infographic, and I would scan it in and email it to them, whoever the graphic person is, and just say, please make this a reality. Otherwise, there are a lot. If you write the word infographic in a Facebook update in the next 2 or 3 days, I guarantee you there will be several Facebook infographic or infographic companies that will advertise on the right sidebar. And they are advertising for anyone who actually uses the word infographic in an update. So feel free to type that in just so you can get the ads in your sidebar.
Dan, here's a good
sample of something related to VA. Is that the one you were going to read?
Yeah, I was going to. Someone wanted a sample of hashtags for VA services. I started a hashtag a few years ago called VA Tip, and that's all it is, VA Tip. And a lot of clients follow it now, and a lot of virtual assistants actually use that hashtag as well. But I was just trying to think of some too, because I was going into my Pinterest, Dan, and thinking of, but virtual assistant would be a good one. I mean, I use VA Forum because I have the forum, but VA Tip is one that a lot of clients follow that I'm aware of anyways.
No, Kathy, on that question, I like the question because it sounds like you're selling, you're trying to attract clients who need your services. So I would also look for hashtags that actually deal with your specific services. So transcription, WordPress, blog posting, whatever it is that you do. I think virtual assistant is a great term, but I think that it's not entirely well known outside of internet marketing, internet people. I mean, it is, but there are still guys who use the word secretary or helper or office assistant, or other things. They don't know what to look for. Online, whatever it is they look for, I don't even know. So I wouldn't totally rely on virtual assistant. I would try to find some of those other keywords. For somebody out there is just looking for a transcriptionist or is just looking for someone to update their social media and see what are the keywords for that or what are the hashtags for that.
Good suggestion, Dan, because like you said, we have to educate the people about virtual assistants because no one knows what we are yet, which is really cool for us VAs because there's lots of work. And
yeah. But in that task, in the task of educating the public, You can't stand in front of a public who is looking for your services if they are not looking for your services the way you represent them. So office assistant or I think, what is the word for, telecommuter. Some people are looking for, like, you know, people who work from home or office worker from home, you know, things like that. So find them on the terms that they're looking for and then educate them about what you really are called. So that you don't ever, you know, you really just want to stand in the traffic. You don't want to stand on the side of the road with the billboard.
Exactly. And I don't know, maybe if you offer Pinterest services, you might use the Pinterest
hashtag,
get lots of people that are doing Pinterest interested in your services.
So if I sell a specific brand of handbags, but so do others, if I use the pound sign with the name of a brand, there might be hundreds of others using the same thing. How would I differentiate myself from the others by adding more specific hashtags? So I would never let the idea that other people are doing it stop you from doing it, because you are trying to stand in the traffic. Now, Twitter and Pinterest and Instagram and some of these other services like that are very much like radio, where if you're not there, you're not going to see it. So whether or not other people are doing it is not important. The only thing that's important is that you show up when they're looking. So if you have pound sign Coach because you're selling Coach handbags, then, you know, people who search for Coach are gonna find your tweet or whatever it ends up being, as long as they're searching within basically 10 hours of you posting it. So if you're also, I mean, that person is not going to also look for Fort Lauderdale. That's like a different search. So, you know, use several, and don't ever be discouraged that you're not being found. You're doing what you're supposed to be doing. When you get found is when you get found. That's totally fine. Just don't stop doing it. It's totally like radio. You know how much money they spend on radio, like right this very second? There are thousands and thousands of advertisements that you are not hearing. And, I mean, that's just the way it is. So don't totally be discouraged by that. Just keep it up, and you will win in the end. Obviously, if you post 1,000 times a day, you will be found more often than if you post twice a week. So I'm currently viewing my website. So if you're on lettersfromdan.com, which Leslie has asked, how do we reconnect with all of your wonderful free resources? Lettersfromdan.com, on the right sidebar is a little picture of Doritos. You can click on that, and that takes you to my notes. I publish my weekly notes every Friday morning at 9 a.m. You do occasionally get a broadcast from me. Like, I went to Blog World last week in New York, and I sent out a note see my entire list to see if anybody was in New York and wanted to have dinner. Otherwise, you get my Friday morning notes are there, and a great video, which I think you'll enjoy, as everyone seems to. And then freeweeklymastermind.com is on Facebook. You can just do freeweeklymastermind.com in your browser, and that will take you directly there, as long as you're logged into Facebook. And you're welcome to join us there. Is there any problem with image copyright and Pinterest? And image, basically Mountain Jim is asking about copyright stuff. So there's, I mean, that's a huge issue, copyright pictures. So when I was talking originally about Instagram, those are all yours. I mean, when you take your own photos, those are all, that's 100% you. When you take, when you pin an image from some other site, Pinterest is different than StumbleUpon and some of the other sites, because Pinterest actually takes ownership of the image. When you pin it, Pinterest actually uploads it to their site, and they own it, which is really odd. And they ask that you only pin images that you have the right to pin or you own, because you're basically transferring ownership as a user of Pinterest. So early on, I decided I got rid of a couple of my boards. I had a great one on that I called Memory Lane, and it was all these cool tree-lined streets, you know, that just look beautiful and make you definitely want to hold hands and walk down the street. But I realized at that point that there were probably a bunch of those photos that were actually photographers who were trying to make a living. And, you know, by pinning those and spreading them everywhere, that made them, you know, made it harder for them to make a living. So I typically only post things that I think somebody wants you to post, you know, like blog posts, pictures, and things that look like you just took them from Instagram. I try not to pin anything that looks professional. But otherwise, yeah, Pinterest definitely owns the right to that, and you somehow gave them the right to it just by pinning it. So, I mean, I guess use it at your own risk. So far, there hasn't been any big court cases that I know of. But, you know, don't be an idiot. You know, don't go to some painter's site and, you know, pin a bunch of paintings or pictures or something. Fiverr.com, somebody asked about that. Fiverr.com is great. It's F-I-V-E-R-R, not F-I-V-E-R. And that is a site, that's a freelancing site. So that's where people who have skills of any variety whatsoever, I'm talking about any skill, whatever, on the place of the planet, they show up on Fiverr, and for $5, they will execute their skill for you. For instance, there is a guy in Italy who will write your name on the beach, and he will take a picture of it for you for $5. Or he will write, "I love Sarah," on the beach, in the sand, and he will take a picture of it for you for $5. There is a woman who will call your girlfriend and will break up with her for you for $5. There are people who will do backlinks. There are people who will do a blog post. I bought a puppet. I sent the guy a script, and he used his puppet to read the script, and I have it as a video on, I think, on Twitter Glitch. I forget. Yeah, Fiverr's got all kinds of crazy stuff on. So where do I find VA tip? What about another human word? All right, I'm going through the questions. I was hoping you could take us to Pinterest and search for a couple of those hashtags. I might not. All right, let's do it. So I actually have that loaded up for you. How do I do this here? I got to minimize this question screen. So I went to Pinterest earlier, and I found in the very first pin that when I brought it up, this bizarre one, this very first thing says she wrote #procrastination. So now a hashtag, the only thing a hashtag is, it is a way to organize content on the internet. That's all it is. Because nobody in common English puts a # in front of a word, when you put a # in front of a word, it makes it a unique thing to search for. So that's really the only thing a hashtag is. It's just a way to categorize information. So if we were to click on this word, procrastination, see how it lights up when I do it? Now, nothing else lights up because it's not a link or a hashtag. Twitter and Pinterest is designed so that it recognizes hashtags and it recognizes links. So if I click on this, let's see if anybody else has used that hashtag. All of these people have used, and look at that. Look at that. It's not even a hashtag. When you click on it, it searches for anybody who used the word procrastination. That's even better. Because you couldn't click on the word procrastination and find everything with the word procrastination. You can only click on it if it's a hashtag. So if we do, let's do hashtag wine. Oh, wait, no. We already used that. Let's do WordPress. Let's see what happens. WordPress. Does anybody use the WordPress hashtag? That is the question. Now, you can obviously just search for it, but the guy who actually uses the hashtag will also be found on Twitter. Because when you search for a hashtag on Twitter, the only thing that comes back is the hashtag, not the other random stuff. So nobody's really using it on there, which is fine because you found it with the term WordPress all by itself. But when you share it to Twitter, for example, every one of these has the word smoothie in it with the hashtag, not just the word smoothie by itself. So you could search for the word smoothie, but what's great about the hashtag is that it's clickable. So then you can easily, here's recipes. Here's baking. Look at that. Every one of these is recipes. But I'm going through here and I'm thinking, ooh, baking. I'll click on that. Now, if I have a baking site and I just tweeted and I have the baking hashtag in mind, mine just showed up here. This is another search. This is like, you know, Google, basically. Here's cookies. Pink lemonade cookies. There's pink lemonade. I don't know how many people use that, but oh, look at that. Pink lemonade came up as not a hashtag. So make sure that you're you're figuring out what you mean, what keywords actually will bring traffic to you. All right, I'm going through another question here. I can't tell if you can tell that or not, but I can tell it. What about the terms of service for Animoto when using to promote a business? I think that you have to go to Animoto and read those. I do not know. But I would say that most of the videos on Animoto that I've seen are designed to sell a business or are commercial, have commercial intent. Otherwise, I do not know. I'm sorry that I cannot answer that question. But if you go to Animoto, I'm sure they'll figure it out. So is it totally important to make sure your various profiles match or are similar? For example, if you signed up for Pinterest using your personal name, should we redo the page with our business handle or something similar? So I think that your question is, should there be continuity among our social media presences, if that's even a word? And there should definitely be some continuity for one reason, and that is for sponsors. If you get to the level where you're getting some good traffic and somebody like Procter & Gamble is actually interested in coming up to you and, you know, in doing a promotion or advertising in your sidebar, they use Radian6 and some other tools to find you throughout the web. They want to know what your complete reach is. If you don't have, you know, your name like Van R. Morris the same everywhere, then that particular search function reduces how many things they can find, you know, you in. They can't find as much of you. And even your clients who are interested in potentially hiring you, if they can't search for one thing and find you, then, you know, what is the value there? So I would say you definitely want to have some continuity. Now, your question about should we use our business name or our name, and that goes directly to how are you representing yourself? Do you have a Facebook page for yourself that all your friends and family go to, and you have a business page, or do you just use your Facebook page, like facebook.com/DanRMorris? I actually have a Facebook page, but it says that it's on hold because I can't manage everything. So I pretty much just use my Facebook profile for everything at the moment. So I would say that's either you're going to make your business name your public face, or you're going to make your first name your public face. And either way, you're going to try to have some continuity among them. Just figure out which one it is. Can we pin snipping tool snips that we've taken from our own direct selling business websites, i.e. we're selling products for them? Can we use their material? Most of the time, they, if you are a direct marketer, and I'm thinking this is a MLM, they give you the tools. Typically, they don't want you bidding on their brand name because they're trying to get traffic to go to one particular place. But if that is your business and you've paid for your kit and you're there to sell whatever, you're a more V or whatever, definitely, you know, use whatever images you can for your business. I mean, you're an employee basically. Can you buy Pinterest repins on Fiverr? You can definitely buy Pinterest repins on Fiverr. You can buy 7,500, I believe, for $5.
Hey, Dan, we're getting to the top of the hour here, and there's tons of questions. But I'm going to suggest you guys go back to your slide there, how they can get a hold of you, Dan, and
oh, yeah,
and stuff like that, and sign up to his newsletter. Go to the Facebook page that he was talking about, and Dan will continue to answer these questions.
Oh, yeah. But, yeah, that was a three-weekly mastermind.
Yeah.
And in fact,
yeah.
Did I have the last day? There it is. So there is, and I told you, if you hadn't used Animoto or hadn't used Pinterest yet, that I would help you understand how to use it. And I put together a product called Making Money with Pinterest. And it's all about how to use affiliate links, you know, in your Pinterest pins, how to get set up, how to use it. It's got, I would say it has 20% different information than I presented today. But the most important thing about that product, Making Money with Pinterest, is that is the back end of it. Once you buy it, I email you once a week, maybe sometimes twice, if I find a really awesome blog post somewhere that's got great content, like this kind of stuff. I've been teaching people about how to use the hashtags. some webinars that have some great information. Any webinars that we do, I'll give you access to with Pinterest. So for me, the video, which is, I think you'll enjoy it, it's a great introduction to the real value, which is the emails after, because you definitely want to continue your education and things change rapidly. So anyway, I would encourage you to go there, and it's vajot.com/PinterestDan, and we do 100% commission products, so all of the money from that goes to vanetworking.com, so your community gets even better.
Helps keep our community
otherwise,
free. Thank you.
Free Weekly Mastermind is great. Otherwise, lettersfromdan.com and click on the Dorito in the right.
Yeah, go back to that page if you like, Dan, because I'd love them to get signed up with you.
Was that helpful today?
Yeah, it was a fantastic webinar. Now I've got all kinds of questions for you too, Dan, but we're out of time. But I will be going
on
to
my
your
site. I got all kinds of I got more Pinterest articles if you click on Pinterest marketing on one of them.
Yeah, show them the chip. Right there.
There's the chip, and you'll have to watch the video. Now, just for you, because you're VA people and you're helping, the video has dramatically increased the number of people who subscribe to my list. Like 35%. More people are now, once they get to this page, rather than, I just used to have a little text here. So consider that in your own online marketing efforts, that a video like that can do you wonders. Why is it like that? I cannot answer you why I made that particular video, because it just came to me and I made it. There's no rhyme or reason to it. But it seems to be effective.
So go to lettersfromdan.com and sign up to his newsletter. And once you get connected with Dan, you're going to hear about his mastermind, free mastermind things and different things that he has going on, like his Facebook page where you can go and ask a question and different stuff. But thank you so much, Dan, for sharing your knowledge here with us. There's so much information that you gave today. My head's like, it's right, totally full.
I hope it was good.
It was excellent. It's got me thinking I got to work more on my Pinterest and different things, and I will do that. And at the forum, guys, share your Pinterest links so we can all start following you and see what you're doing as well. And I thank you, Dan, lettersfromdan.com, for sharing with us your knowledge today. It was fantastic.
Well, thanks for having me. I'd love to do it again anytime.
We'll have you back, Dan. I love listening to what you have to say.
Excellent.